Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and I'd like to welcome those watching via the live stream. Just welcome as well. Receive this call to worship from Psalm 63, 1-4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift my hands. So this morning, as we worship the Lord, our God, our Creator and Sustainer, tell Him what He means to you. Tell Him how you love Him. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just praise your holy name. All honor and glory belong to you. Everything that we have and everything that we are is because of your great love. A love so wonderful and amazing that there's just no words that can express its vastness. We are here to worship and praise you this morning for your sacrifice on the cross, giving us life. Just thank you for your Spirit that is in us, leading us and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. And during our first song, I'll ask the ushers to come forward and receive our gifts as we give back to God during this first song.
Thank you.
Grace, my chains are gone.
Save the wretch like me.
Pray. Father God, thank you so much that you are our living hope and that you have declared that the grave has no claim on us, that yours is the victory, Lord. And we just pray that you would be with Tony this morning as he brings us your message. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Down here, guys. Spread down. Slide down. There we go. We got a good group here this morning. How are you guys doing? Did you have a good morning? You look awake and full of energy. Well, that's good. So I'm going to tell you a little story from the Bible. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to tell you it. So, Jesus was teaching, and there was an expert in the law. He knew lots of stuff, and he was asking Jesus some questions. He was testing Jesus to see if he knew the answers. And he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" So Jesus tells this parable. See the guy? He was going from one town to the next. He was traveling. And all of a sudden, some robbers jump up. They beat him. They steal his clothes, his money, everything that he has. They steal it, and they leave him by the side of the road. So this guy is hurting really bad. But then there's this guy who walks by, and he thought, man, this guy's definitely going to help me. He's a priest. He's a teacher of the law. He's really going to help me. Did he help him?
No.
No, he didn't help him. He just walked right on by, left him laying there in the side of the road. Here comes a Levite. He's definitely going to help me. He's a follower of God. He's really going to help me. Did he get help?
No.
No, he didn't get help. He just left him there. He walked on the other side of the road. And do you know what else? Do you know what happened? It was really unexpected. Some guy came and helped him. Yes. Yes. Yes, he did. A Samaritan came by. The guy probably thought, I'll never get help from this Samaritan, because Jews and Samaritans, they didn't really get along. They didn't like each other. That's a whole other story in itself. But this Samaritan did something really unexpected. He put the guy on his donkey, walked him to a town, got him a room, and took care of him. He bandaged his wounds, he gave him something to drink, and he paid for all that the guy needed. So, in the story, who was the neighbor to the guy who was hurting and beat up? It was the Samaritan. He showed the love of Jesus to that guy that was beaten and hurting. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to get from this story?
We're supposed to be like that guy and do it to other people.
Yes, exactly. We're supposed to be like the Samaritan. We're supposed to help people. We're supposed to show the love of Jesus to people. We're not supposed to walk by and go, boy, that guy's different. I'm not going to help him. We're supposed to go and share the love of Jesus to everybody, especially when someone is hurting. Maybe not, they might not be beat up, but maybe they're hurting on the inside because something sad happened. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack. Heavenly Father, I just pray for these children. Pour a blessing upon them. I pray that you will show yourselves to them in a new way, and I just pray that you'll help everyone here show the love of Jesus to someone who is hurting and needs you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
All right, you can have a snack and then head back to your seats.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Todd Weber, and I'm the director of Elevate Youth Center, who meets here on Friday evenings. I was standing at the back during the worship time, and we were singing songs about how Jesus died on the cross and broke every chain, and that's awesome. That's great. But we are called to go and break the chains that other people have by pointing them to Jesus. And so at the Youth Center, our mission is to help the kids and their families from the community experience the love and hope that is only found in Jesus. Life is hard, and we want to help them out in any way we can. We want to elevate them from where they are to where God is. So yeah, we currently meet Friday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 for ages 8 to 12, and a typical night includes various games and activities. I think the kids would play Gaga Ball 24/7, 7 days a week if they had somewhere to play and other kids to play with. Then there's also snacks and drinks that they enjoy, and partway through the night we have a lesson and prayer time where the kids ask a lot of questions and they also give out prayer requests. So the ways that you can get involved is, I have a dream. We've always had a dream to open up for a teenage group. However, we are in desperate need of more staff to do that. Particularly, we need some more women to come hang out with the girls that would come out. There's also the opportunity to make cookies or other baked goods. The kids enjoy having those things as well. And also, you can pray. And I have a prayer letter here. And the cool thing about this is it has the actual prayer requests from the kids on here. It doesn't have their name. It just says whether it's a boy or a girl asking for the prayer requests. And there's also a list of the staff. You can pray for the staff. We have snack bar helpers, and we also have, I set up a board of directors to help oversee. Their names are on their way as well. You can pray for all of that. So if you have any interest in helping out with the teenage group or with the younger ones, please come and see me. We can plug you in, and you can help right away. So I have put together a little slideshow to give you some visual of what all happens. And see me afterwards also to get a prayer letter.
Thank you, Todd, for sharing and giving us a way to step out and reach the community around us. I would encourage you to get involved. If you think, man, I'm too old to interact with these kids or these teenagers. My kids, when they were in Sunday school, they had lots of grandmas. They considered their teacher a grandmother. So you could be a grandparent to all these kids. You could be a grandparent to those teenagers. You can share your life experiences with them. You might not be able to run fast, but you can give your heart and share your heart with them. And I know that is more important than running around. So I'd encourage you to all get involved. I have one announcement that I want to share. That way I don't forget it later. Sunday school next Sunday will be from 9 to 9:30, and then we'll be moving into the communion part and foot washing during the Sunday school hour. So just to make you aware of that, so I invite you to come out for that. Well, good morning, and thank you for your prayers for my family and myself as I prepared this message. Thank you for your prayers and continued prayers as the transition day approaches fast and slow at the same time. Yes, that is possible. Fast and slow at the same time. So this morning we're going to start our new sermon series on the sufficiency of God. We're going to look at God being able to handle anything that we face. With my family and I facing this transition that is coming up at the end of October, all these things were swirling around in my mind. Finances, healthcare, what's the future going to look like with our world just spinning out of control into moral decay? What's this all going to be like? And when these things would rise up in me and be bothering me like a tornado, all that junk swirling around in it, I would give it over to God and tell Him that He is sufficient to handle anything that comes my way. So as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at different areas and how God is sufficient to handle anything that we face. The definition of sufficiency is being able or adequate. But when we look at God being sufficient, this definition kind of changes a little bit. It's more like sufficiently abundant. It doesn't kind of go together, but with God, it does. God is able and abundant at the same time. God loves to do more than just the minimum. God loves to go beyond what we need. So we're going to be looking at approval/love this morning. In all circumstances, God's love will carry you through. See, in our world today, all around us, people are looking to be loved and gain approval from those around them. Whether it's because they have a broken home, or they're just lonely, or they're looking for protection, there's this longing, something missing that they need to fill. Many people are longing for their mother's and father's approval. They may go through their entire life longing and seeking for that and never get it. And they run to anyone Who will give them approval? People join gangs because they're accepted. They're covered by that umbrella of protection. You mess with one gang member, you mess with them all. And they see this as being loved. Some see love as a powerful emotion, and they just go with it. They pursue that emotion with all of their heart, and they run into the arms of anyone who can provide that love that they're longing for. People who are looking to be loved and gain approval, they carry this hurt inside of them, this emptiness. They feel rejected by the people who are supposed to love them and don't. Sometimes they try to drown out that pain, that feeling of emptiness that they carry along with drugs or alcohol and relationships. And these are just a few ways that the world chases approval and love and try to medicate that pain that they carry away. And this is just some of the reasons that we have so many broken people, destroyed relationships, people who are angry and hurting in this world. And we as a church, we're not immune from those hurts. We face loss. We face death. We face the same things that they do. We long to be loved and gain approval. We're no different. But how we are different is we are loved by God, and we see that. See, when we go to God and give Him those hurts, those things that we face, that's when we take the power from the enemy and we turn it to God. And then that's when God does something amazing. He opens our eyes to the love that He has for us that's always been there. And He shows us what He intended from the beginning, and He fulfills that longing in our hearts. See, we can receive healing for those hurts and heartaches that we have. So this morning, we're going to look at the children of Israel. When they were in captivity in Egypt, God showed love for them. He brought them out of Egypt in an amazing way. God used Moses and Aaron. He used everyday people to do His work and lead His people as they moved out of Egypt and were in the desert. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and he was there communing with God, receiving the Ten Commandments, and the people went to Aaron and said to him, "Make us some gods." So this is Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come make gods for us, who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Did you see what they missed? Did you hear that? Did you hear what they missed? The man who brought us up out of Egypt. See, the people didn't love God, and they gave credit to Moses, not God. Their credit went to a man, not God. Whose power brought the plagues on Egypt? Whose power split the Red Sea so the entire nation could cross on dry land? Whose power wiped out the Egyptian army in one swift crash of waves? Whose power made the nations around them tremble in fear whenever the Israelites came by? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't man. It was God. God's power and love was on them. The Israelites, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The nation of Israel finally got to the promised land that God said He would give them. God was faithful. He showed them love and kindness, even though they failed over and over again. And as we move along their timeline, they're living under the authority of judges. God was set above those judges. So you have God, you have the judges, and then you have the people. So we look at 1 Samuel 8, 1 to 9. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges over Israel. His firstborn son's name was Joel. His second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. However, his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned towards dishonest prophet, took bribes, and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and went to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Therefore, appoint a king to judge us the same as all the other nations have." When they said, "Give us a king to judge us," Samuel considered their demand wrong. So he prayed to the Lord, but the Lord told him, "Listen to the people and everything they say to you. They have not rejected you, they have rejected me as their king. They are doing the same thing to you that they have done to me since the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, abandoning me and worshiping other gods. Listen to them, but solemnly warn them and tell them about the customary rights of the king who will reign over them." The people saw that the sons of Samuel were dishonest. They didn't have faith in God that even though these two were dishonest, that God was able to sufficiently care for them in this situation. They rejected God as their king and wanted an earthly king like all the other pagan nations around them. Even after Samuel tells them the high price tag that it's going to cost them. You're going to have high taxes in the form of money. You're going to have to give a lot of your crops over to the king for his court and his kingdom. Your sons and your daughters will have to serve the king in various roles, including the army. They insisted on having a king like all the other nations around them, even though they know it was going to cost them a lot. When the children of Israel relied on God and said to God, "You are more than able to meet our needs," and showed him love, God more than took care of them. He was more than able to do what he said he would do. He rained down his love on them, even when they rejected him. Are we any different than the Israelites? Are we any different? How often do we do things our way, just like the Israelites did? How often do we want it our way, even when God says, "You're going to face some hardship and tests and trials and if you do it that way. Do it my way instead. It will be easier." We as Mennonites, with our get-to-work attitude, we try to do it on our own, right? How many times do we step out and do it ourselves? "I can do it myself. I don't need help." Does it usually work well? No, it doesn't. We work harder and it takes so much more energy than if we would have asked for help, whether that's spiritually or physically. Moving on to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to paraphrase this, because it is a very popular passage. It's the parable of the lost or prodigal son. A man had two sons, and his youngest son went to his father and basically said, "You're dead to me. I want my inheritance. I want my portion of your estate. That's all I care about." The younger son gathered all his possessions, all the money, all the things that his father had worked so hard for, and he just went to a foreign land. He lived it up. He partied, and he wasted all of it. He was at a low point in his life because he had nothing. He was feeding pigs, and he wanted to eat their food. He had nothing. There was nothing for him. And he remembered how his father took care of even the lowest servant, that they had food to eat and clothing. His father was generous even to the lowest. He went back to his father, practicing this speech as he went. I can just hear him practicing this speech as he walked down the long road home. "I have sinned against God, and I have sinned against you, Father. Make me a servant. I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. The father was watching for his son, and he saw him coming, and he ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him, for his son was lost, and now he's saved. He's at home. The son gave his speech to the father, "I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. Make me a servant of yours." And his father did something amazing. He restored the son to full rights as an heir. Is there a better story in the Bible that represents us as Christians? The love of God is unwavering. See, when we reject God and we run from Him because we have sin in our lives and we want to do it our way, God still loves us. See, when we're born, we have this sin nature in us, and we're drawn to sin because of that nature, and we all fall short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. We fall short. And it says that in Romans 3:23. And when we come to a place, when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Savior, acknowledging our sin and turning from it, God runs to us and restores us to Himself. And this process is only possible because of the love that God has for us. We can't earn it. We can't do anything. It's just God loving on us. God's love for us is able to bring restoration in every part of our lives, in our hearts, our souls, our relationships. I'm going to turn to Romans 5:6-11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more than since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, will we be saved through Him from wrath? For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. The plan to bring us back to a right relationship with Himself involved Jesus dying on the cross, going to the tomb, rising again, defeating sin and death forever. God's sufficiently abundant love is so wonderful that He sent Jesus to pay for our sin. Not just one of them, all of them, for everybody. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. All we need to do is accept Jesus into our hearts as our Savior. That's it. And our sins will be forgiven. So we can know for certain that God is carrying us through every situation that we face. In the good and the bad, we can run to God and be held in His arms. Are we running to God? Or are we running away from God? There's times that we don't go to God. We try to take care of everything ourselves. This is small things and large things. We try to do it all on our own. How does it usually turn out when we do it on our own? It's usually worse than when we started, right? Usually doesn't go well. We try it on our own first for a while, and then we turn back to God and say, "God, I really need help. I messed up. I'm trying to do it myself. I need you to handle it." And what does God do? He abundantly takes care of it. Everything God does for us is out of love, and that includes discipline and correction. It's because He loves us that He disciplines us and corrects us. So I'm going to throw out some scenarios to you to think about. God is able to take care of each of these situations. He is more than abundant. You're sitting in the doctor's office and he's telling you you have cancer because you have faith in Jesus. You can sit there and this love and peace that God poured out just like reigns over you and you can't explain it. Instead of being overwhelmed with worry and fear of what's going to happen, that was me. I was sitting in the doctor's office almost smiling because I had this peace, this comfort, that God was sufficient to take care of the situation I was facing. Maybe you're adopted, and there's this emptiness, this longing to find out who your biological parents are. You go and you try to find out if you can. Maybe when you do, they don't want anything to do with you. So how are you going to fill that void, that rejection that is there? It's God. He is able to handle any situation you face. He is able to fill that void, that missing piece that is in your life. Maybe you're single and you want to be married. Relationships you've had just don't go the way you want them to. Because you have this emptiness. You can find fulfillment in God. And I realize I'm saying that as a married man. But it is true. In every situation, we can find that God is able to fill those voids that we have in our hearts. Maybe you were abused, and you don't want anyone to be around you. God is able to heal you and care for you. God is trustworthy. His love can fill your life with joy again. Let Him handle your situation. Maybe you feel like a failure. You lost your job. Or maybe your family business that's been running for generations has failed on your watch. You feel like you let everyone down. Go to God. He is more than able to help you and bring healing to you and restore you. And when we allow God to work in our hearts and our lives, we become a light to the world around us. Just like that lighthouse in the picture. Others see that we have this peace, this joy, that we're walking through something terrible and we're not destroyed by it. And we can reach out to people and tell them why. Because this world is broken and hurting, and they are longing and searching for something that is missing, that they just can't fill. And when we know in our hearts, and we understand in our minds the love that God has for us, that He is sufficient in everything, and when we walk in that love, we can point people away from danger to God. Because that love of God, it just shines through us, just like that lighthouse in the dark. God's love is just a beacon to all those around us. And we can love the most hated people because we are secure in God's love. When people come to us because they see we're walking through something and we just have this joy, they can feel God's presence just pouring out of us. We can point them to Jesus. We can be a witness by the way we walk, that talking about it can never explain or fill. They just can see it. Now, I am saying that we need to talk about it and share it. So we need to have both. But there's a part that people can see that there's something different. Something different. Yesterday was my mom's birthday, or would have been her birthday. As she walked through her journey with cancer, she gave glory to God for His strength and love that was carrying her through all the situations that she faced. She had treatments, and then she went to work, and the doctor's like, "Oh, you can go back to work now. You should be good." She's like, "I never stopped working." And the doctors are like, "Oh, wow, you are strong." She's like, "No, my God is strong. I am not." When we share those testimonies, when we give those testimonies to people of God's goodness and His love, we become the hands and feet of Jesus. That is our job as a church, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So in closing, receive the love of God in your hearts and live lives where you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, and then go and share them. Share what God has done in your life. Let people see what He does for you, even when things are going sideways. And maybe we have to share that things are going sideways instead of being silent and suffering through it. Go. Be the hands and feet of Jesus, because God is more than sufficient to show you love and approval. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the love and approval that You give us so freely. Help us to understand it and fully receive it in our hearts and our minds. Help us to be Your hands and Your feet, sharing what You have done in our lives to this broken and hurting world around us. As we walk down this road of life, just pour out Your love on us so that we can be a light to the world around us. Just let it come out. Help us to do this each day and live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
I invite you to stand and join us in the closing song, "Victory in Jesus."
Good morning. I wanted to draw your attention to a note in the bulletin regarding FREE's 5th Annual Gala. Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved is a nonprofit in Reading, and we exist to bring restorative care to sexually exploited women and to break the cycle of commercial sexual exploitation through prayer and community awareness. So November 10th is our 5th Annual Gala, and we're focusing on the theme Remember as we celebrate God's faithfulness over the last 10 years of our ministry. So it's going to include hearing from Brad, who's part of Zoe International, and he leads the human trafficking task force in both Reading and Berks and Lancaster counties. So we'll be hearing from him, and we'll have a silent auction, and you'll get to hear more about what FREE is doing as we prepare to open Refuge Home, which will serve survivors of sex trafficking. If that doesn't convince you enough, we're also going to have food catered by Shady Maple Smorgasbord. So I encourage you to register online at freefromht.org or see me for more information. And yeah, thank you for your support as we carry out the Lord's vision of setting the captives free.
Thank you, Lauren, for sharing. I'd encourage you to look into that. If you don't want to go to a gala, just look into the ministry and at least be aware of what they're doing. Will you stand for a parting benediction? Know in all these things we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.